This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. Happy birthday to President Obama. He is 52 years old today. You may remember earlier this year in the president's State of the Union address, one of the things he asked Congress to do was to raise the federal minimum wage, which is still stuck at $7.25. He wanted to raise it to $9. Well, that started some discussion of the topic, but no moves in the legislature to actually change that wage. In the recent weeks, however, we have seen people at the fast food franchises around the country striking. In fact, there were strikes in seven cities this week because they want the minimum wage raised. They want to make more money. $9, not enough for them. Many of them are saying we should be making $15 an hour. At $9 an hour, they would still be right at the wage where you are still considered at the poverty level in this country. $15, at least many of them would be able to support a family. Jeremy Stahl has been writing about all this for Slate.com, so I've asked him to join me today and talk about it. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Why should the franchisees of the fast food companies like McDonald's and Wendy's and Steak and Shake and Taco Bell and all the rest, why should they pay their employees more?
Well, the first thing that these fast food companies usually say when they're asked about these minimum wage and pay increases is that, A, if we do this, it will require us to cut workers and or it will cause us not to be able to hire more workers. The fact is that this is not backed up by the preponderance of academic research into the effects of minimum wage increases on employment.
So, for instance, in cities like San Francisco, which I think has the largest, the highest minimum wage in the country, isn't there a study that shows that there was no actual decrease in employment there?
That's correct. In 2007, a trio of Berkeley professors looked into the minimum wage increase that was done in 2003, which was a 26% increase from $6.75 an hour, I believe, to $8.40 an hour. And what they found was that there was no what economists like to call disemployment effect, which means that there was no noticeable net downward effect on employment. What they also found were three positive returns, which were this. It increased the amount of people who stayed on longer, so it decreased turnover, and it also increased the number of long-term employees. And several other studies have also found that it these kinds of increases tend to increase productivity because, of course, when you have employees staying on longer, less turnover, you've got less training costs, and you've got more productive employees.
Yep. I've always thought when somebody says, well, then we're not going to be able to hire as many people, the way business works, now I will admit I've never run a business, but I worked at a McDonald's when I was 18 years old, and all I know is that you have enough people there to get the job done. If people come in and buy burgers, you know, Big Macs, Quarter Pounders, Whoppers at Burger King, whatever they may be, if the customers are coming in, you as a business owner staff your restaurant to take care of whatever number of people are coming in there. So if business is good for you, you're going to hire enough people to do that. It has nothing to do with how much you're actually paying people. You're not going to cut your staff and give worse service to your customers just because it's costing you more. That's going to hurt you in the end because people will stop coming to your restaurant.
That's absolutely a fair point, I think. And what these restaurants have tried to do is they've done kind of, in their responses by, you know, certain lobbying groups, they put out these kind of scare tactics whereby, you know, they say, well, we're able to replace jobs now because technology allows us to replace jobs. There was a full-page ad in USA Today on Tuesday, I think it was, with a picture of Employee of the Month portrait, but within the portrait was a picture of an iPad. So basically they were saying that, you know, the future employee of the month is the iPad because we now have the technology to replace these workers. But what the fast food workers respond was, well, if they thought it could actually save them money, and if they actually had the technology to do all of the things that these employees do, like mopping floors, manning registers, flipping burgers, all this stuff, they would do it. But if it would actually result in an improvement in customer service, they would do it, but they haven't done it yet, so it's an empty threat.
Yeah, sounds like an empty threat to me, because that's exactly what I thought. If you could do it, you would have done it already.
That's exactly what these people who are asking for improved wages are saying.
Okay. I went back and I checked how much money I was making when I worked at McDonald's in 1976. Yes, I'm old. but at the time, the minimum wage was $2.30 an hour. $2.30. Okay, it's almost $5 an hour more now. But if you indexed my $2.30 an hour for inflation, you would now have to pay me $9.42, which is above what even the president is asking. Has there ever been discussion that you know of, Jeremy, to index the minimum wage to inflation rather than have it have to wait for Congress to change it on an irregular basis?
That's what Alan Grayson has proposed with this latest legislation to increase the minimum wage. He's talking about an increase to $10.50 an hour and then having it pegged to the inflation index after that. And what you said was absolutely correct about, when you were working back in the day. If you go even further back to 1968 and adjust the minimum wage for inflation back then, it would be $10.65 an hour. So in 1968, minimum wage employee was making the equivalent of $10.65 an hour, which is more than President Obama was asking for, and even more than the legislation I just mentioned that is being sponsored in Congress by Alan Grayson.
Okay, now I don't want this to sound like we're just picking on McDonald's, because there's a whole fast food industry, and in fact, there's a whole minimum wage industry all across the country of all types. But let's just talk about McDonald's as an example here. They are a company that is public. They sell stock. Their shareholders want a great return on that. Their numbers have actually been down recently. They've come in the last quarter, I think, was below expectations. Is it okay for them to say, hey, you know what? We'd like our people to be making more money. We just can't afford that.
You're absolutely right that they came in below expectations last quarter. They still made around a 20% net profit, and they still made $1.4 billion, for whatever that's worth. I think what you have to look at is you have to look at the data and the analysis that's been done on what it would actually cost a company like McDonald's to make these kinds of increases. And a study, not a study, but a letter signed by 100 economists and sent last month determined that it would actually only result in a 2.6% increase in business costs for fast food franchises. And what they determined was that half of that cost could be made up by a 5-cent increase in the cost of a Big Mac from $4 to $4.05, and the rest could be made up in productivity gains and sort of an equitable distribution of profits.
A nickel.
Yes, that was what they determined. Was half of it could be made up by a nickel increase in the cost of a Big Mac? Yes.
You know, I'll be honest with you. If I knew that I had to pay a nickel or a dime or maybe even a quarter more for fast food or any kind of food that I'm buying, to know that the people who are working on the other side of that counter are going to be a little bit happier in their job and do a better job and care about their job a little bit more, I think that might be a good thing for me to do. But I may not be in the majority here. What do American people say about this?
Well, I haven't looked at any of the polling on this issue yet, but generally, I think if I remember back when during the State of the Union, the polling was generally in favor of these minimum wage increases. I haven't looked in any recent data, but what you said about the benefits accruing to employees that versus a 5 or 10 cent increase in the cost of your Big Mac, I think is really a fair point, especially if you consider that a full-time wage at one of these minimum wages is just over $15,000. And for a family of three, that's 19% below the poverty line.
Hey, forget about a family of three. For a person of one, that is, you can't live on that in America. Jeremy, there's lots more to be said about this, but I'm all out of time. I do thank you very much for not only joining me, but also writing about this subject on Slate.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This show's called America Weekend. If you're staying with us into the next hour, Turi will take over, and I'll see you next Saturday. America.